Tomorrow.
I'm Allison Powell.
I'm Beverly Jean.
Welcome to Shaky Understanding. Today, we're going to be talking about Two Gentlemen of Verona and his dope.
It's so good, you guys.
Take it away with some Shakespeare Bridge, girl.
All right. We start out seeing our two heroes, Valentine and Proteus, saying goodbye because Valentine is off to become a scholar and improve himself, off in Milan. Proteus is talking about how in love he is with this girl, Julia, and Valentine's like, oh, you. And that's the end. Then we see Speed, who is Proteus's servant, and he tells Proteus how he's delivered his letter to Julia, and Julia has not said anything back. She kind of dismissed it, and Proteus is kind of disappointed. We see Julia with her maid, Lucetta, and she's talking about, which of my suitors do you think is the nicest? And they talk about all the boys that are going after her. And she says, but I think Proteus loves you the most. And Julia's like, oh, okay, I guess. And then Lucetta's like, oh, by the way, this guy gave me a letter for you. And Julia is like, well, I don't want to read it. And she tears it up because she doesn't want to tell her that she does want to read it. And it turns out that it was from Proteus, and Julia sees like his name and her name in the scraps on the floor and is like trying to put them back together. And she's like, oh, but these words, they belong together. She's trying to tear her name off of it, but she's like, no, I'm gonna fold them, make those names keys. She's basically playing Barbies with these letters. Anyway, we find out that Julia does return Proteus's affections. That's the crux of that scene. Then we see Antonio, who is Proteus's father, talking about how he's kind of disappointed that his son isn't really amounting to anything and just spends his time trying to chase after the ladies of Verona, which is a thing we've heard before. And he is really excited that his son's best friend, Valentine, has been trying to improve himself by serving a duke in Milan, and so he decides it's a good idea for him to make Proteus go do the same thing. So he sends Proteus off to hang out with the Duke in Milan and his friend Valentine. Now Julia and Proteus are so sad that they have to be taken away from each other, and they're seen in this goodbye scene where Julia's like, you know, you could just tell your dad no and not go. And Proteus is like, no, I can't, and ends up going. Julia seems a little mad because she leaves without saying anything, which Proteus takes as a lover's thing, but could be taken either way. And they exchange rings and promise that they will love each other forever. There's also a character I skipped named Lance, who's really sad to be leaving and is sad that his dog doesn't get mad that he's leaving, but that's another day. Valentine, in the Duke of Milan's palace, is with Sylvia, who he's been serving, and he's reading her a letter that he helped her write for her love. And she says, oh, great, you finished that letter? Why don't you keep it? Wink. And then she leaves. He's like, God, this sucks. She has a crush on this other guy. She's making me write his letters. This sucks. And his servant, Speed, is there. And he's like, hello? Wake up. Clearly, she likes you, dude. And he's like, oh, this is a great day. But the Duke of Milan, who is Sylvia's father, is not a fan of Valentine, because he has this other guy, Thurio, who he thinks Sylvia should marry. But Sylvia doesn't like that guy at all. So next we see Proteus arrive to court, and Valentine is so happy to see his best friend. He can't wait to tell him all of the things that have been happening and how he fell in love. He caught the bug, just like his old friend Proteus did back in Verona. And Proteus meets Sylvia, and she goes off, and Valentine and Proteus talk about how great each of their loves are. Valentine says, by the way, me and Sylvia are getting married. I'm going to sneak in and steal her away at night, and we're going to go get married together. And Proteus is like, oh my God, that's crazy. Awesome, dude. Anyway, I got to go do some stuff. I'll see you later. Valentine exits, and Proteus turns to the audience and goes, I'm in love with Sylvia. It happened, you guys. Julia who? And he totally just does a 180 and is like, listen, I gotta go after this girl. This only happens once. And decides to betray his best friend, Valentine. In Verona, Julia is like, oh my God, I miss Proteus so much. I'm so in love with him. I'm gonna dress up like a boy, travel to Milan, go and find him, get him back. And Lucetta's like, great, what kind of outfit you want? And then they have jokes. Proteus ends up telling the Duke that Valentine is sneaking off with Sylvia to get married. And the Duke is like, oh my god, Duke, thanks for telling me. Great way to do that. And Proteus is like, to prove it, here comes Valentine. I think he's got that rope ladder with him right now. See if you can trick him into telling you. And the Duke does really well. Like, Duke is like on fire, like SVU Milan. And he figures out that Valentine was indeed holding the rope ladder under his cloak and was going to steal his daughter away in the night. So he banishes Valentine, just like Rome. Except in this play, it's more funny. Then we see Thurio and Proteus talking, and Thurio's like, dude, I like have these great poems I wrote, but I'm kind of nervous to tell her. Can you read these for me to Sylvia to woo her for my love? And Proteus is like, oh yeah, dude, I'm like the best friend a guy could have. Of course I'll do that for you. And then he tries to woo Sylvia with these poems himself. Meanwhile, Julia has arrived dressed as a page and sees him doing all this, wooing another beautiful woman in front of her eyes and actually trying to give her the ring that she gave to Proteus as a gift. He ends up asking for Sylvia's picture. And Sylvia's like, sure, you can have my picture, but I'm still not going to love you. She's so mad at him and thinks he's the worst friend. She knows something's up, that Valentine suddenly disappeared and Proteus is not sad about it at all and is wooing her. Julia befriends Proteus and is like, sure, I'll deliver your letters and try and give this ring that this other girl gave you to this Sylvia girl. Just the ring that Julia gave to him. And Julia tries to deliver it to Sylvia, and Sylvia and her have this beautiful scene where instead of it being a catfight about the same dude, it's, I don't understand why this guy would leave this beautiful girl behind. That's so rude. And the girl who she's talking about being there disguised as a boy being like, if it were me, I would be heartbroken. I weep as if it is me because I know this Julia girl as well as I know myself. Sylvia ends up giving her the picture so that Proteus can, I don't know, kiss her before he goes to sleep at night. I don't really know.
Yeah, I'm sure kissing that's all he's gonna do.
Sylvia gives it to her and she's like, I don't need this back. Meanwhile, another badass bee's move. Sylvia calls in this other knight in town. She's like, listen, I think you're a really good dude. I'm not trying to hit on you. I'm not trying to kiss up to you. Will you take me through the woods so I can find the guy I'm in love with? And this guy's like, you know what? I am a good dude, so I am going to help you do that. And they go off into the woods. Meanwhile, Valentine has been banished and is out. He was on his way to, Mantua for whatever
reason. Yeah, he is on the way to Mantua.
I don't know why he didn't decide to go back to Verona. He gets stopped by three outlaws in the woods. And they're like, haha, give us all your money. And he's so depressed and nihilistic. He's like, I don't have anything but the clothes on my back, but those don't even matter to me. And they're like, whoa, dude, what's your deal? And he's like, listen, I just got banished because I killed a dude, kind of. And he's mostly talking about himself, like, dying because he's not with the love of his life. And each of these three outlaws is like, oh my god, crazy story. I'm speaking in verse because I, too, am a lord who was banished. I tried to marry the Duke's daughter, etc., etc. Each of them has a story. And they do a team huddle off to the side, and then they come back to Valentine. They're like, listen, we talked about it. We want you to be our king. And he's like, all right, I'll do it.
And then they made me their chief.
So now he's king of the pirates. And Speed is there, too. And very funny. Then Sylvia is off into the woods. The Duke figures out that Sylvia ran away with this really nice knight. He's like, I knew that guy was too good a guy. And he goes, we're going to follow him, boys. Thurio, Proteus, get on your horses. Let's go. And they go into the woods. Of course, Sylvia's taken by outlaws immediately. They tell her they're bringing her to their king, but he's not going to do anything bad to her. Don't worry, he's a good guy. And she's like, scary. Valentine, really taking to this whole outlaw thing, walking through the woods like, dude, the woods are great. Then he hides behind a tree because he hears voices coming. And it is just Proteus and Julia disguised as a boy. And Sylvia, now taken, released from the outlaws. And Sylvia is going like, oh, Proteus, I still don't like you. Like, I would have rather been with the pirates. Like, I don't want to be near you at all. I'd rather be eaten by a lion. Proteus is like, girl, love me. And she's like, no. And he's like, fine, I'm gonna make you love me. And he forces himself on her, like, not fully. He, like, tries to, like, force her to kiss him. And Valentine pops out of the trees, is like, back off, rogue. And they recognize each other, and Sylvia's like, oh, yes, this is my day. Thank God. Proteus is so ashamed with what he did. He's like, you know what? This was bad. I got carried away. I'm sorry I tried to rape you. My bad. And
Julia has fainted in the meanwhile.
Oh, yeah. Julia's like, whoa! And then Valentine's like, you know what? Anybody who can't take someone's penance as payment for a bad deed isn't a human. So, sure, I'll accept your apology. And then they're friends. And then, meanwhile, Thurio's like, well, I'm not going to physically injure myself for a girl that doesn't love me back. I'm out. He peaces out. He's like, I don't want to date you anymore. And then the Duke comes in and is like, you know what? Valentine, I misjudged you. This whole thing, you becoming a pirate king, all this has shown me that you are worthy of a queen or a duchess. So why don't you marry Sylvia? Julia wakes up, and that's the end.
Pretty much. I think that's a fair assessment. The thing is, it's phenomenal. I honestly don't understand why this isn't up there with, like, Romeo and Juliet. And I am so excited to talk about it. We have a special guest today, Sylvia, the Queen of Shade.
I will wear that crown proudly.
Oh, yeah, girl.
Wow, let's get into this.
Number one thing, which I forgot until you were going through the summary, is that very first scene between Valentine and Proteus. Honestly, I was like, is one of you a girl? Because you're, like, soups in love right now. Like, more than normal dude bros.
Oh, my God.
Because he's like, why do you have to go? Like, I'm going to miss you forever.
But Allison. That's us.
I know! Which makes the betrayal even more. I was like, shiitake mushrooms, dude.
I know, like, he
bros before hoes!
Which is a line in here.
Proteus says to me, that we're who would put love before a friend? And then I'm like, literally every man except for you. Yes. That's my exact response.
There are some sick burns in here also. And I just want to see, like, a modern day update with people just mic dropping everywhere. Here's one of my favorites. I wrote it down as Act 2, Scene 4, but I think that might not be accurate. But Thurio says, sir, if you spend word for word with me, I shall make your wit bankrupt. Mic drop! It's like rap battle, guns ring out, you dead. It's so good!
There's so many, I mean, off the topic of birds, but on the topic of how, like, smart and funny this play is, there's so many comedic elements that are deeply layered. Because, like, one thing I noticed is...
It's like a modern-day sitcom. It really is. Everything is set up and paid off really, really well.
When you hear Speed talk to Proteus in that first scene, he's like, man, I delivered your letter. That girl you like didn't give me any money. It's like, she's super rich. Where's my tip, dude? And he has all these great lines about it. And then you find out later, it was her maid that he gave it to. So her maid's not going to give him any money because she's just like, yeah, I'll take your letter. But that's why, because Julia didn't have the letter with her. And that's why also the servant's like, yeah, she didn't seem that interested in the love letter. So I guess you're kind of SOL, buddy. Like, find another lady. But it's just because it was the maid.
Can I just say, the genius of Julia... Mm. And, like, she plays with those letters so much. And, like,
no.
Oh, sorry, I gave you the wrong one. I meant to give you this one.
Yeah.
And she didn't mean to give me that one.
Oh, so you think she did that on purpose, she told you?
Oh, I think for sure.
Even the ring thing? Because in the end, too, she gives him the ring that he gave to her.
That's why I think that it was on purpose the first time, is because it happens a second time.
Oh, this is like her play.
This is her thing. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, I'm just a silly boy. I forgot.
Are you guys still in touch, you and Julia? Are you like brunch buddies?
Yes, best buds.
Oh, dope.
Best buds.
Wait, question.
Yes.
Does she go back to Proteus?
We both went back with both of them.
All right.
We just became kind of like...
The foursome?
Yeah, it's... I don't think that I personally forgave either man. Like,
what did Valentine do?
So right after Proteus tries to rape me,
casual.
Which, like, not cool.
Definitely not cool.
Definitely not cool. Valentine, Proteus is like, oh, I'm so sorry. Valentine was like, you forgave, you're forgiven.
Right.
You're so sorry, so we should all forgive you. And then he says, you know what? To show you how much I forgive you, you can have Sylvia. And then Julia passes out, and then.
That's
yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Valentine's like, Proteus, you can have me.
Yeah.
Right. And then my dad, comes in and is like, you know what, Valentine, you can take her away from me. You got her. And for some reason, I had nothing to say about any of this.
Man, like, you tried to make your choice. You're like, Valentine, I choose you, Pikachu. Let's go get married. That falls through, and then everyone still tries to control your life.
Everyone loses their goddamn mind.
My body, my choice!
Oh my god, Sylvia, I'm so sorry. That's crazy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you and Julia got to, like, become friends. Because, again, like I said, that scene where she comes in, her previous boyfriend is crushing on you real hard now, mm-hmm. and she is wooing for him. And, like, she could be very catty in that scene, mm-hmm. but she wasn't. She was just like, I'm trying
well,
to do this again.
Well, because you did turn down the ring.
Right.
And you were faithful, even though all the people weren't.
Exactly. I love that conversation, because it was, like you said, she could have been so catty, mm-hmm. and she came in ready to be that.
Yeah.
She said something about stupid Proteus. You've told a wolf to woo this sheep you, or
right.
something like that.
Mm.
Like,
she's
ready
she's
to come
in.
Yes.
She's coming in hot.
She's coming in rearing to go. And then we talk, and I'm furious and pissed at Proteus. And whoever this other new man is who works for him in front of me. It's just men in general, you know.
And then
we talk and we really bond and we've realized that we both felt so bad for Julia, who is Sebastian.
Yeah. Speaking of people with the same names, isn't there a Friar Lawrence in Romeo and Juliet?
Yes.
There's a Friar Lawrence in this?
Yes.
Oh my god, I missed
yes.
it. That's who's going to wed you. Or, like, you're meeting in a cell,
I'm
aren't you?
I'm supposed to go to Friar Patrick's cell.
Okay.
And then somehow Friar Lawrence came into it.
Yeah. It's mentioned straight up, which is why I'm so sure that one, I don't know, like, when the two of them were written. But
this is first.
Then here's what happened.
You got notes?
Billy... I don't think he got, I don't know if he got notes. Then his son died, and he got super drunk, and he's like, man, I don't believe in love anymore. Like, this whole play is full of such beautiful
yeah.
writing about love, and about what it does to you, and about
the
love being blind, and
love.
The crazy, and,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the pain of it, and the craziness of it. Like, Winter's Tale goes into a lot of the pain of it,
mm-hmm.
but this is, like, all facets of love. It's just a whole play, like, the theme is love,
mm-hmm.
like, 100%. And I think he wrote Romeo and Juliet and was like, man, love just gets you screwed over. It will literally kill you. Literally.
Quite literally.
That's my final point, except I just want to talk about Lance and the dog and how much I love Lance. And
tell us why you love Lance.
Because, man, I can just see it being such a fun part to play. It's so rare for me, even now when I'm reading plays, like, I can still follow the plot pretty easily, but it's still rare for me to read a character and be like, I want to...
be you.
Get on my feet and say these words.
I want to be inside you.
I want to be...
the character.
I want to swim in these words. And Lance, he just comes on stage and he has these amazing... I guess there's technically soliloquies because he's talking pretty much to the audience, kind of to himself. And there's so many fun comedic turns within them to explore. There's one where he's talking about his whole family and, like, My dad did this, and then my mom was over here, but
he's
my uncle was over here.
Yeah, he's using his shoes.
Yeah, he's like, yes!
This one has a hole, so it's my mom.
Yeah, right? And it's so brilliant. And then the one where he's like, I have to take this dog, I guess, but I don't know. Just him and dogs, man. It's just beautiful.
He loves his
I
dog.
I've never read a Shakespeare monologue. I've read Shakespeare monologues and gone... this one is okay. I could learn this for an audition for a thing. This one, I would go, yeah, I'm gonna do this. His monologues are fire.
And we're actually gonna get to go see this one because the Independent Shakespeare Company is doing it in Griffith Park.
They're so great. I cannot wait to see it staged. I can't wait to see a performance of somebody. And I kind of hope it's that guy who played Richard III because that's an appropriate time to have all those crazy turns in there.
He'd
like,
be super good at it.
You... If you do Lance right, that is a show-stealing, show-stopping character. You just come on stage and you slay.
Yeah.
Like, it's the best.
Yeah.
He's the best. He's like Andrew. He's like Andrew Ogachek.
Maybe you've met him. He's
yes.
involved.
Yes. Yes.
There's another Sebastian.
Right.
But he's a twin, and he's not right. the one in disguise, but there was a girl in disguise in Twelfth Night. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's all I'm gonna say.
The amount of wordplay, too, with Speed and Lance
yes.
is like, you guys are geniuses.
Man.
You're like,
they're the
puns.
They're the smart clowns, right? Am I right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Lance is weird because he seems like a dumb clown, but I think he's a smart clown who plays dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Speed is just a smart clown.
Yeah, totally.
I'm surprised, actually, how much...
Yeah.
You guys loved it.
Have you?
How did it feel living in the story?
It felt like Billy wasn't at the tip of his game yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh.
Yes, this is very much one of his earlier plays.
Yeah.
I will say, the first time I read it, I had to read really fast. And I remember reading it, especially with the rape plot that's very casual.
Yes.
And I was like, this is dumb.
Yes.
But on the second read, in which I read along with an audiobook to get better context...
Mm-hmm.
To what people mean when they say what they say, I found it much more fun. And I could understand why it was awesome and, like, why he was doing what he was doing. But I think he definitely, it's one of those things where he writes himself into a knot and doesn't quite know how to untie it, so he just starts cutting.
Yes.
He's like, let's just fix that like that.
Exactly. And also, I felt a little forgotten about at the end.
Yeah, you just kind of become a prop for a
second.
Yeah,
and the last thing I had to say about everything was I was just screaming out in terror as Proteus charges at me.
You're like, I don't want to have sex with you, and he's trying to just get at you.
Yeah, and I mean, like, not cool, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
He dropped the ball, for sure.
And then we're all just supposed to be get along, you know? I'm still not over that.
Yeah, there's some strife in that marriage, for sure.
100%.
I'm sorry, they grow up.
I have gin, I have whiskey.
They grow up and have a kid named Benedict.
Oh my god, that reads, because apparently Messina is like Italy or something.
Yeah, it is. I looked it up.
That.
Why do so many plays take place in Italy?
I was thinking the same thing. Why don't we talk about
talk about it.
What's the answer?
I was reading this play and I was like, huh, we have Verona here. Romeo and Juliet, famously in Verona. We just read Taming, which is Mantua and Padua. Much Ado is Messina, which is in Italy.
Yeah.
Merchant of Venice, duh. A lot of these plays take place in Italy, and I was like, why is that?
Yeah.
But I did a little bit of research, and just from my own brain, I was like, well, it makes sense they wouldn't travel to France, because they're always, like, fighting with them, or
right.
just, like, calling them names.
For real.
They didn't have a great relationship with them. But Italy was just, like, the place to go if you were a traveler, and it was well renowned for its arts. Like, the sonnets
mm-hmm.
and the playwrights of the time were something that Shakespeare probably really liked.
Mm.
And there's a period of time where Shakespeare didn't write any, or didn't, like, release any new plays. And some people think, like, maybe he traveled abroad in Italy because, and there's no proof of that. That's just a thought people have, because he does write about other places besides England and Italy sometimes, but they're not super specific. Like, Denmark all takes place in a castle and is very just about the people, not really the place.
Right.
Whereas each of the Italian areas have such a distinct personality
mm-hmm.
to them.
Yeah.
Like, Messina is very countryside and is very, like, Tuscan villa type
yeah.
thing. This Verona is for lovers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Milan is supposed to be for thought and, like, university and, like, improving yourself.
Yeah.
Because everyone who's coming or going from there has been, like, a professor or is trying to improve themselves. Mantua as well.
Mm.
Because in Mantua, which is Taming of the Shrew takes place, everyone is coming there to study. Like, that's what Lucentio, whoever the boy is that actually ends up with Bianca, is going there to study, falls in with Bianca, and gets sidetracked. And Petruchio is coming there to get married to advance himself. All of it's for advancement. Anyway, basically they think that Shakespeare probably had a personal experience in a lot of these places.
Sweet.
And, like, understood the specifics of it. And it was said that, because there's a line in As You Like It where they say, oh, you're well-traveled, you probably swam in a gondola or something like that. Just saying, like, yeah. When you're well traveled, you go to Italy. If that's the thing to do.
Oh, sweet.
And it was probably really easy to access.
Yeah.
From England.
Yeah. On modern day adaptations, I don't know if there are any, but it seems like a play you could so easily update.
There's a musical version.
No.
What?
Yes.
What is it called? Need it on the spot.
Two Gentlemen of Verona, but it's a musical.
Is it good?
It was, I have not seen it, but I've heard mixed reviews.
It's a rock musical.
From when?
Oh, it's gotta be the 70s from the poster alone. 1971 Broadway, 1973 West End.
Yeah, right. It's probably no good or we'd know about it.
Tony Award for Best Musical. Okay, I have something new to do. This is great. That's so funny. The only musical, I thought there was a Love's Labor's Lost one, but maybe it is too.
There's a Comedy Vera's musical, but it's like a rap musical.
Yeah, you said that.
But are there any modern day adaptations?
I don't know. I didn't even look it up this time because I don't think there are.
No.
Do you know?
I want to say no.
Yeah. I don't even think there's a lot of movie versions of this.
Oh, it's so good.
It honestly feels like it could be a CW show.
It totally could be a CW show.
Because everyone's like so high strung and emotional.
Yes.
Yes.
It's and like imagine, Riverdale. Like, yes, Riverdale. It could be, like, you're in, like, Verona in the summer, and it's hot, and everyone's passionate and madly in love with everyone else.
It would be great.
And then Milan is, like, all, like, buttoned up and, like, businessy, but there's Sylvia in all her glory, and she's wearing, like, a sundress, and you're like, I want that. That's what I want.
I want a tall glass of
you. Oh, man, you guys, we gotta write this pilot.
Oh, my God, I am down. Because the other thing that I'm thinking about, that I'm raving about this play so much, is it's really that good, right? It's not that we've just read so much crap recently.
It's partly that.
That I'm thank God, a plot, things happen, it's funny. Oh, man. Rather than just like, oh, Lord. Another war.
I don't think it's as good as you think it is, but I do think it is, the scenes are as good as you think.
Yeah,
I think
the scenes are tight.
This is one of the best plays I've seen of, like, volleying back and forth between people.
Yeah.
Between clowns, between non-clowns, which barely ever happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your friends all talk very fast and very well.
Everyone's so witty. I remember there was one conversation between Thurio and Valentine, basically fighting with their wits for me.
Mm-hmm. While playing cool.
Yes. And while very sexy and attractive.
Uh-huh.
It was also like, I should be witty too. And then I would try and throw something in, but
didn't work.
Sometimes it would land, sometimes it wouldn't.
Oh, man.
I appreciate all the jabs that you get in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Queen of shade.
Queen of shade, for real.
I mean, when men are trash, you have to tell them.
Men are trash, you must take them out. Did you have lots of suitors growing up? Or just this Thurio guy? Was your dad, like, super protective, or was he like, what about this dude?
I had lots of suitors, but I'm, as you know, a very strong-willed, outspoken woman.
Oh, yeah, your man gets banished, you're like, yo, other guy, you wanna go to the forest?
We gotta go.
We gotta go. Back your stuff.
And if you're not coming with me, I'm going by myself.
like, well, I don't want a dead girl on my hands.
So no. I mean, yes and no, answer your question.
Yeah.
I've had many suitors, but I don't know why. I think I just hadn't voiced my opinion on Thurio yet to my dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then luckily I didn't have to.
You finally found someone you liked, and he was like, by the way, I can get us a ladder. Like, he was, I guess it's probably what brought him, like, made him stick out to you, is that he was just as willing to, like, no, I like you too, let's do this.
Then. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a very attractive quality. Really are you is. Listening, men?
Yeah, and I also feel like you can tell the amount of arguments my father and I would have about men that he would lock me in a tower every night so that I couldn't talk to any of them.
Talk about that. Yeah, at one point he's talking to Proteus, bro to bro, because Proteus is like, by the way.
Yes.
Your daughter. And he's like, yeah, I guess that's why I lock her in that tower every night with a key from the outside in. What?
Locked away in a tower. I'm a real princess.
So, like, when you were a kid, you were, like, maybe on the first floor. Did you, like, sneak out at night?
For sure. Of course I did. And the idea for the ladder was my idea.
This makes a lot of sense because of the whole letter scene with you. So Valentine was probably like, God, I wish there was some way where we could be together. And you're like, hey, what if we bought a ladder? And then then you spelled it out for him slowly but surely. Was it something like that?
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's how our entire relationship is.
Ugh.
It's like, I have to make you realize that this is your idea.
Smart. Oh, the outlaws.
The yes, outlaws are I really horrible. Like the outlaws.
You can see how that could be played so funny. Of just making yes. them, like, the nicest dudes, but with guns. And we're here to rob you, but exactly. oh my god. What if we are king? That would be so great.
And how great that they're like, we won't rape you. Proteus reaches the low that no one else will reach.
No one!
Everyone else reached so many lows, but that was the one that oh they would god. Not touch.
No. That's what I wanted to talk about. So, Sylvia appears in the forest, the outlaws get her,
yeah.
And they're like, hey, we're bringing you to our king. I have so many questions. Do they know that this is the girl that he loved?
No. No. Clueless.
They don't know at all. Great. Why are they bringing her to him then? They didn't even, like, because when he came by, they're like, give us your money and leave. With her, they're like, no, come with us. We want you to meet somebody.
Because they're so enamored of him.
Do you think that they're like, you know what? She looks like the kind of girl for him.
I really think it was. And now they work in the castle with us. They're great. Oh, we love them. They're really sweet.
Are they your gardeners? Because that's...
They're adorable. We love them.
That's all they want.
And so, yeah, I think they saw me and they're like, hey.
You cute.
Our guy could have a girl. Let's you put know them together.
That's true. Because they wouldn't be like,
they were writing
you're
the
so
fan
beautiful.
Fic.
I want to love you. They'd be like, you're so beautiful. You should be our king. Like, come with us.
They're writing the fanfic right now.
Oh, man.
So beautiful.
Oh, man. That's so wonderful. So we're going to read a little scene from Act 4, Scene 2. This is after Valentine has been banished, and Proteus has come to Sylvia to woo, quote-unquote, on behalf of Thurio. But really, he's like, I'm going to get this girl with this sweet song. And he just sang it, and now they're talking.
Madam, good even to your ladyship.
I thank you for your music, gentlemen. Who is that that spake?
One, lady, if you knew his pure heart's truth, you would quickly learn to know him by his voice.
Sir Proteus, as I take it.
Sir Proteus, gentle lady, and your servant.
What's your will?
That I may compass yours.
You have your wish. My will is even this, that presently you hie you home to bed. Thou subtle, perjured, false, disloyal man. Thinkst thou I am so shallow, so conceitless, to be seduced by thy flattery, that hast deceived so many with thy vows? Return, return, and make thy love amends for me by this pale queen of night, I swear. I am so far from granting thy request that I despise thee for thy wrongful suit, and by and by intend to chide myself, even for this time I spend in talking to thee.
I grant, sweet love, that I did love a lady, but she is dead. 'Twere false if I should speak it. I am sure she is not buried.
Say that she be. Yet Valentine, thy friend, survives. To whom thyself art witness, I am betrothed. And art thou not ashamed to wrong him with thy importunacy?
I likewise hear that Valentine is dead.
And so suppose am I. For in his grave, assure thyself, my love is buried.
Sweet lady, let me rake it from the earth.
Go to thy lady's grave and call hers thence. Or at the least, in her sepulchre thine.
Madam, if your heart be so obdurate, vouchsafe me yet your picture for my love. The picture that is hanging in your chamber, to that I'll speak, to that I'll sigh and weep. For since the substance of your perfect self is else devoted, I am but a shadow, and to your shadow will I make true love.
I am very loath to be your idol, sir. But since your falsehood shall become you well to worship shadows and adore false shapes, send me in the morning and I'll send it. And so, good rest.
Beautiful.
That's what I was going to talk about.
Huh, what is
he
it?
He said that Valentine was dead and that Julia was dead. He was like,
he's like,
love me. And I was like, you have a girlfriend.
Yeah, everyone's dead. You're all
like,
dead.
This is the equivalent of being like, yo, girl, you won't go out this weekend? You're like, don't you have a girlfriend? And be like, oh, she died.
Right? Like, what is wrong with you?
It's great. It's so great.
And then she's like, well, I'm really missing my boyfriend that just left. Oh, he died.
Like, yeah, so he's also dead. Check it out. Thank you so much for coming, Sylvia.
Yeah, thank
this
you.
Was a blast.
I know.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. It's some girl time away from those silly boys. I'm Beverly Jean.
I'm Allison Powell.
Deuces, peasants!
I met Joss Whedon, and I was so nervous.
She ran into Joss Whedon, let us say.
Yeah.
That sounds like you met him at, like, an event.
Yeah, no. I'm so sorry. You're such an inspiration.
Oh, my God.
I'm such a fan. You're so great. I have a podcast about Shakespeare, and then I turned around and laughed. Right away, because I was like, if I stay, I'll embarrass myself. If I stay, I didn't want to do what happened at the club. I didn't want to cry. I was like, I have to go. I have to leave. I need to get out of here. But since then, I've been like, I didn't